Good morning. Chapter 6, The Divine Consciousness, from The Master Speaks, by Joel Goldsmith. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. I am with you alway. That I is God. I, God, the divine consciousness of my individual being, is ever with me. So your divine consciousness is God, which is why it is said, "Whither can I flee from thy spirit?" You can't. You can't get out of spirit. You can't get out from consciousness. You can dream. Life is but a dream. And for some it's a happy dream, and for others it's a nightmare. This thing called human hood. And so Joel says it could not be any other place and still be the consciousness of my own being, nor could I be separate and apart from consciousness, since without consciousness there would be no being. There would be no I or me. I, divine consciousness, will be with me as long as I exist as an individual. You know, the day will come when you cease to exist as a human being. But your individual consciousness will still be functioning. It will still be living. It will still be you. You are the divine individual consciousness. In fact, I is all there is to me, manifesting itself, its glory, as my individual being. There is no it and me. There is only it manifesting itself, expressing itself as me. The word divine consciousness becomes flesh as individual me. So the word becomes flesh, but it is still the word. Somewhere over the centuries, long, long ago, we accepted a personal sense life, a human life, and came to believe that that is me. The human is me. But it never changed. I am still the consciousness that I was before the world was. Before the world was, you were somewhere. And where was that? Consciousness. You were in consciousness, and consciousness was in you before the world was. Sometime in your meditation, you will feel this divine consciousness, your divine consciousness. And maybe you'll remember what it felt like before you appeared here on Earth. You know, I had this experience of walking around consciously aware of consciousness, and nothing was left out. In every direction that I looked, I saw myself, infinite divine consciousness, everywhere. I felt it, consciousness in the wind. I felt it in the trees. I felt it in the people. I felt it in the waves, the ocean waves. But I also felt it in the asphalt, in the electric wires, in the cars, and the houses. There was no place where I left off and they began. I was inside of everywhere I looked, because I was looking at consciousness. When you are consciously aware of divine consciousness, you feel it, you know it, aright. This is the consciousness that will never, ever, ever leave you, because it can't. This consciousness is appearing as you. Well, you say, I have a case of bronchitis, and I'm not breathing real good without coughing. Yes, I'll agree with you. That is the appearance. But you have to ask yourself, does divine consciousness feel this? Is divine consciousness in this bronchitis? Well, you know better than that. No. Then what is it? What is this disease? Dis-ease, not at ease. It's an appearance. It certainly looks real, it feels real. And in your human mentality, it is real. But come up higher. Come up higher in your meditation and behold divine consciousness. Divine consciousness dissolves everything unlike itself. And so your conscious awareness of divine consciousness will melt this appearance. Now, you're not melting a disease, you're melting an appearance. And so the healing takes place within you, not out here. We've already concluded that infinite divine consciousness is omnipresent. There's no place where it is not. And so there's nothing out there to heal. There is an appearance. It's in your mind. It's not your appearance. It was here before you got here, and it'll be here after you leave. It's an appearance. But drop it. Here in your meditation, drop it. Behold, I am with you always. Infinite divine consciousness, omnipresent. Gain the conscious awareness of that, and then rest. Father, thy will be done. Consciousness, thy will be done. And you will see this appearance dissolve the way the darkness dissolves at the coming of dawn. Slowly, gently, no fighting, no effort, only bearing witness. This oneness is the secret of your immortality, of eternal life, probably. It is the reason for the word alway. Lo, I am with you alway. I will be with you unto the end of the world which Jesus overcame. I have overcome the world. That's in John. He actually said that. I have overcome the world. And that was before the crucifixion. Which means he had already stepped out of this world. And when they nailed the body to the cross, he was probably not in this world. Or if he was, he left it shortly thereafter. Probably on the cross, when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was probably standing in heaven. There is an end to the world. The world is not immortal. The world is not eternal. The world will not last forever. What is this world that comes to an end? It is really not a world at all. Just as the appearance of a disease is not the reality of your being, so the appearance of this world is not the reality of your consciousness. It too is a series of appearances. And so you must learn in your meditation to step away from and out of this world, to step into your inner divine consciousness, and then have your being in that consciousness. And he says, the things that are of God are eternal and immortal. This world that I have overcome is not a world, but a false sense of the world, a false image, a belief about the world. You see that? Very important that you see that. If you know that there is no world, you'll stop trying to improve it. You'll stop trying to heal it. You'll stop trying to succeed in this world. Jesus never overcame anything that actually existed. He could only overcome a false sense about reality, a false belief about it. And so from that we gather, we live and move and have our being in reality, in infinite divine consciousness. But we don't see it or feel it. we see a false sense of reality. We see an appearance covering over reality. We're seeing through a glass darkly, and the glass darkly is this world. So we look at reality, we look at divine consciousness, and we see this world. We look at perfection and we see disease. We look at perfection and we see lack and limitation. So the correction must be made within in order to see reality that we live in. Now, how do we do that? Well, the first thing is to know the correct letter of truth. But if that's all you have, well, the letter kills. You have to go further. And it begins in your meditation. When you meditate on divine consciousness is here, I am divine consciousness, and then rest in it, you get the feel of divine consciousness. You get what Herb called the weight of it. You feel it. And that feeling of infinite divine consciousness, not the thought about it, but the feeling of it, is what dissolves any appearance. If it's deep enough, it dissolves even cancer. If it's deep enough, it dissolves loneliness and lack, limitation. However, you can't direct it. You, meaning the human being, the human mind, cannot direct infinite divine consciousness. You can't funnel it into a mold and so trying to direct this infinite divine consciousness at a particular appearance is never going to work. Remember, Joel said that we don't pull God into our human existence. We drop that and rise into the conscious awareness of consciousness. So your conscious awareness is the key. If you are consciously aware of thoughts about truth, well, you're learning the letter. I of myself can do nothing. But this consciousness within, it can do all works. And so now let me let it. Speak, Father. Thy servant heareth. And now be still. Be still and know that I, within you, am infinite divine consciousness. And lo, I will be with you always. All right, so Joel says, wherever we go, under all circumstances and conditions, remember, I am with you always. I, your consciousness of your own identity, have always been with you. You perhaps remember yourself as you were in kindergarten, primary school, grammar school, and high school. Always there was that which you called I, looking out upon the world of experience. You were always there, observing and experiencing. If there had been no you there, there would have been no observation, there would have been no experience. You watched yourself in illness and in health. You watched yourself in childhood and in maturity. You watched yourself get married. You watched yourself in business and in the home. I, my identity, the realization of my true being, have always been there, watching everything I do. Throughout the day, I even know when I lay myself down to rest at night. I am also there to put myself to sleep and let myself rest. I am always present. I am always there. Even people who, to sense, are dying or passing on, have been known to say, I am dying, I am going home, I am going to the Father. Always this I was there as conscious identity, and as a witness even to one's own passing, showing that there must have been part of I or me which survived even the experience of passing, since it was consciously aware of the activity of passing. I would like to be developed enough to be consciously aware of my own passing. I want to step into the next existence before I leave here. All right, so therefore it was not dying or death as we understand it, but merely a conscious passing from one form of experience to another. Follow this carefully, because this is the revelation of the conscious continuity of experience. And in this conscious awareness of conscious continuity lies your ability to demonstrate eternality and immortality. This I, and it is really God, or the Son of God, called the Christ, is ever with you. And though you walk through waters, it will be with you. The waters will not cause you to drown. Though you walk through fire, the flames will not kindle upon you. I will always be there as a witness to all that is going on, and if you accept it as such, I will be the Savior, the Christ, or healing influence to any and every experience. When you take I into your meditation, take it in this light of conscious identity, conscious continuity of identity, and watch the unfolding of the divine idea as immortality, eternality, harmony, and perfection. Now, this next section has a title, The Letter of Truth Does Not Heal. It doesn't matter how well you know it. It does not matter if you can answer an essay question 100%. It does not matter if you can quote scripture which backs up your theory. No, the letter does not heal. There must be such a degree of spiritual unfoldment that when a call for help comes, the realization of peace comes at the same moment and comes without conscious effort. Now, did you get that? When a call comes for help, the realization of peace comes at the same moment and comes without your conscious effort. Almost like breathing. You're breathing now, but you don't have a conscious effort to do so. It's pretty much unconscious. And so he's saying that in meditation, when a call comes for help and you say, I will help you, and you hang up the phone or answer the email, at the same time, this feeling, this conscious awareness of peace will be there within you. Without your effort, when it is necessary to resort to the process of remembering the letter of truth, even though release comes, the permanent healing may not always come with it. Here is the proof of the message of the infinite way. The letter of truth does not heal. You may go through the process of knowing truth as much as you like, and you may bring relief to people, but actual healing, especially healing of that which the world calls a serious condition, is brought about through a spontaneous and instantaneous realization of peace the moment the call comes, and sometimes even before the call comes. Yes, I've had that experience. Feeling the presence, not knowing why, and then I get an email right that second, and I know why. That's the presence revealing itself. I am with you always. I am omnipresence. It's really quite different from mental healing, where you know a lot of truths and you bombard the patient with the letter of truth in your mind. This is very different. This is subtle. This is filled with peace, with my peace. Always this I was there as conscious identity and as a witness even to one's own passing. This I, and it really is God, or the Son of God, called the Christ, is ever with you. When you take I into your meditation, take it in this light, conscious identity. This raises the question, how do we attain this state of peace when a call comes to us? It means actually living, moving, and having our being in that consciousness, which is a state of peace. It means that from rising in the morning until retiring at night, we are training ourselves not to accept suggestions coming from universal mortal belief. It means taking the statements of the Master, making them practical, even when they are as nonsensical to world sense as not to see your neighbor, or if he wants your cloak, to give him the whole outfit. All these sayings of the Master, resist not evil, they that take the sword shall perish with the sword, are to be embodied in our consciousness, and so they are to be taken into meditation until you have that inner click. Ah, that's what that means. And you know it's true. One by one, brick by brick, we build the infinite divine consciousness. We build the conscious awareness of consciousness. All right. We are to learn that in our innermost being, we are not to oppose, we are not to fight, we are not to wrestle, but we are to stand fast in the realization of Christ, of omnipresence, of divine love, as the healing principle of the universe. The Christ consciousness can be attained, but usually it is possible only by hearing the correct letter of truth as the basis for this state of consciousness. All right, so how do you attain that peace so that when a call comes for help, the peace is already there? You take these statements by the Master into your innermost temple and abide with them. Abide with me, says Christ. And in your abiding, you come to conscious awareness of omnipresence. And then whatever it was you were struggling with, it's gone. Peace is there. My peace give I unto you. Peace, be still. So that the next time a call comes for help, you turn within and instantly feel the peace that passes your understanding. Yes, it's not something you can understand, but it is something you can experience. I don't understand how the presence comes and where it comes from. The Master was right. It's like the wind. You feel the wind on your face and you hear the sound, but you don't know from where it came or where it's going. So is this inner presence. So is this divine consciousness. It's upon you, and you don't know where it came from. It's upon you, and it brings its peace. It's upon you, and you rest in my peace. Now, this doesn't mean that when you are quiet, when you're not making an effort, that you will settle down and feel peace. No, like everything else, it must be my peace. When you settle down, yes, be still. Yes, be at peace. But wait, wait upon the Lord, and my peace, it will come. So he wrote a couple of letters illustrating the correct letter of truth. In the first, he says, "It was evident to me on the first reading of your letter that there is yet one thing lacking. So far as knowing truth is concerned, you know the truth. You have known all the truth there is to be known when you have said, 'I am.' When you can realize that your body is a manifestation of all that I am, you are knowing the truth. However, you have included in your statement of truth the old erroneous belief that your body manifests your thinking. That is not true. Your body does not manifest your thinking. Since God made all that was made, and all that God made is good, does that not make it clear to you that your body is a God-made body and is therefore perfect? You could not change that perfection even with your thinking. What you have been speaking of as your body is not your body at all, but the mortal concept of body. It is a universal belief not belonging to you. So, God made all that was made, and the body that you have is as perfect as God. The body that you see and entertain in your mind is a world belief. It's a belief. It's not real, has no reality, but it is very real as an experience, isn't it? Now turn within and go deeper. Joel gave us this once in his writing during a talk. Turn within and realize, I, myself, am infinite divine consciousness. This is what I am. Now, let us come to the heart of the situation. It is necessary that you experience the actual feeling of the presence of God. It's necessary that you experience and feel the click, the answering response, or that you hear the still small voice. This should be your work from now on. Read a little, but read merely to give an impulse to your thought, and then meditate. Be still. Practice this only for short periods, 5 or 6 or 7 minutes, but return to it several times during the day. Turn within and ask the Father to reveal itself to you. Say to the great within, "Speak, Father, thy servant heareth." So that's instruction he gave to a student, and I believe he gave that instruction to all of us. So, this second letter is to a practitioner who has found a response in her own inner being to the infinite way and my other writings, but she has been so trained in the mental process of knowing the truth and repeating statements that it is difficult for her to make the transition to that place where the student does not think thoughts. They merely become still and feel. In order to heal, merely become still and feel. I am working with you. This means that every day I take you into my work, not only as I meditate, but as the lecture and classwork unfold. It is natural that the truth unfolding in my consciousness will at the same time unfold to you who are receptive and responsive to this work. That, you see, is the process that goes on when you treat others and they receive a healing. You do not actually treat them in the sense of sending thoughts to them. This work is not a transference of thought. You do not transfer your thoughts to anyone. Send out good thoughts to them or send out thoughts of truth. But as you are receptive, and God, consciousness, unfolds itself to you as truth, those who have reached out to you for help receive that truth. Sometimes they receive it in a message or a word. Sometimes they actually receive the same idea you are thinking. And at other times they merely see health restored. But whether they catch an idea from you or from God, or whether truth merely manifests itself as a healthy body, that is what has taken place. Truth unfolding in and as your consciousness has become manifest as the consciousness of your so-called patient. Therefore, it is natural that the truth unfolding as my consciousness will, at the same time, unfold to you who are receptive and responsive to this work. This, of course, will bring to you that peace of God, which passeth all understanding, and a wonderful sense of quiet, happiness, and confidence. Problems all dissolve as this consciousness unfolds. Problems cannot disappear except as consciousness unfolds. Scripture says, "There shall no sign be given." And then it says, "These signs shall follow." This means that we do not play the piano before we have taken piano lessons. But if we are faithful in our study of the piano, the ability to play follows. This is true of the demonstration of harmonious existence. In proportion to our spiritual discernment of the laws of life and spirit, we are enabled to bring forth harmonious daily living. Now, the key there is in proportion to our spiritual discernment, which is a fancy way of saying feeling infinite divine consciousness. In proportion to your feeling infinite divine consciousness, this will bring you the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And it will bring a wonderful sense of quiet, happiness, and confidence. You are recognizing problems, regardless of their nature, as universal beliefs. Regardless of their nature. I've just been laid off. I had a federal position, and now I don't have it because the government shut down. This is a universal belief. I don't work for the government, I work for God. If this position is closed, another door will open, provided I'm not out there pounding and trying to force my way in somewhere. Well, I feel allergies kicking up. Must be that time of the year. That is still a universal belief. There's no such thing as the time of a year. That's all universal belief. And because it's belief, it comes without power. I see thee. I know who thou art. Universal belief. And I have been taught that I do nothing about a universal belief other than recognize what it is. It's a universal belief, and to awaken out of my hypnosis, I must find a way to feel the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And I do that within. So you're recognizing problems regardless of their nature as universal beliefs. You are refusing to handle them in any other way. And, of course, you are turning to God to realize the peace that comes from within. This is all correct. In your work, regardless of the nature of the work or the nature of the problem, when you go into your meditation, or what you may call treatment, be sure that you make the contact within you. Be still until you feel the response within. It comes sometimes as a still small voice, and at other times as the realization of God's presence, a recognition that God is on the field. Always remember that it is not that which takes place as the activity of the human mind that is the healing power, but the actual contact or realization of God. It is the contact itself, the very realization of God's presence, that heals. It makes no difference what problem we take into the silence, as long as we receive the answering click or awareness of God's presence. I think we all know that by now. No matter what the problem presented to you is or appears, no matter what the problem presented to you appears like, you know that if you go deep enough and you have the actual feeling of omnipresence, that problem will dissipate, disappear. It will dissolve. Without any effort on your part to dissolve it, your effort should be to feel this presence of God, to feel omnipresence. So he says, does not this again show you what I mean by the fact that truth must be established in your consciousness as a principle? Otherwise, regardless of what word you may say to a patient or a student, it will not register. It must be an established state of awareness within you. Established. Then it imparts itself to your patients or students, and surprisingly enough, even if you do not voice it, even if you say nothing about it, they catch it. The mere fact that it is an established state of your consciousness makes it evident to them. There is no transference of thought in spiritual healing. This work is not the transference of thought. Therefore, never in your treatment, never in trying to help someone, try to get your thoughts over to him. Never try to impress him with the truth. Never use the word you in a treatment. Never say you are spiritual or God is with you. Never in any way do anything that would tend to act as a treatment which is transferred from one individual to another. When you fall into that habit, you are in the realm of mental treatment. You are in the realm of mind over mind or mind over matter, and that is not spiritual healing. He's pretty firm on that. A transference of thought from you to your patient or your family member or someone that has written you for help, trying to transfer your thought to them or a truth to them, I know what that means. It's you sit down and meditate and something comes to you like, "Lo, I am with you always." And you say it within yourself and sort of aim it at the person or aim it at the identity asking for help. That's what he means. There is no transfer of thought. No, if you recognize and realize the truth within your consciousness, being that there is only one consciousness, it will also be realized where they are, without your trying to direct it. The truth you know in your consciousness really know at depth, with the conscious awareness of it, that truth is the truth in your consciousness here, and it's the truth in your consciousness there. Your infinite divine consciousness is one. It's only one, and it is the only one. So something recognized here will also take place in South Africa, because there is no this world in consciousness. There is only conscious awareness. and your conscious awareness that I am with you always, here, now, within yourself. Ah, yes, thank you, Father. Is also felt in northern India, because your consciousness is omnipresence. So your work is to know that any appearance of lack or limitation is an appearance, a universal belief, and you can dismiss it. Now, what am I to do with the next 4 minutes? Well, I'm to know the truth, and the truth will set me free. So what is the truth? I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I am consciousness. I am God. Be still and know I, infinite consciousness. Be still and know the peace that passes your understanding. Be still and consciously aware that I am with you always. And if you feel the presence, you're consciously aware of omnipresence, rest here. There's nothing else to do. Rest. Bear witness to this presence and what it does. And that's it, really. Now, let us be still and see if there's anything else to mention. This is a long chapter, so this will be part one. No matter where you are in the world, remind yourself, there is no world. I live and move and have my being in infinite divine consciousness. I move in consciousness, and so these rumors of war, they don't apply. In consciousness, there's nothing but consciousness. Here is where the Christ lives and functions. It is I. Be not afraid. It will not come nigh thy dwelling place if thy dwelling place is the conscious awareness of infinite divine consciousness. Peace. Be still. Thank you, everyone, for easing this talk out. I never know what I'm going to say before I sit down. Well, that's not entirely true. Sometimes I get an inner realization in my meditation before the talk, and I know that that's going to be talked about. But most times I just sit down and I get quiet and I wait. What helps is when I have something to read and I can be moved in the right direction. Sort of a sending off place. And so I want to thank you. You're so faithful. You listen every week. It seems like you'd be tired of the same message. But you're not. You keep coming back. Thank you. God bless. And Godspeed on your journey. Amen.